Despite what the Yankees achieved this past week, the World Series is not over. But I'm talking about a different group of nine men and a different sort of diamond. The World Series of Poker kicked off its final table this afternoon, and sitting at that table, nine players whittled down from a field of almost 6,500. In a few minutes, we'll meet the man who went into the day as the chip leader, Darvin Moon. He's a logger who cut his poker teeth in small stakes games in the mountains of western Maryland. First, though, a little background on the game itself. Writer James McManus believes that poker explains a lot about who we are as a culture. His new book is a history of the game with all its unsavory and distinguished practitioners. It's called Cowboys Full: The Story of Poker. And James McManus is in the studios of member station KUOW in Seattle. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on, Guy.
You write that the game is interwoven into the American DNA. What do you mean by that?
The entrepreneurial spirit of a fledgling democracy made it fairly natural that poker would become the game. Its language is money, its means of keeping score. And it's open to all classes of society.
But early on, the game was associated with cheats and sort of Wild West shootouts, right?
What we would call poker skill today, that was had very little to do with who took the long money home in high-stakes game in the 19th century. The artistry of poker had more to do with being able to deal seconds or passing the cards over a mirrored ring on the inside of your hands, or as we saw in the movie The Sting, when Robert Shaw has a cold deck prepared for Paul Newman,
right.
And Paul Newman's cronies managed to get into the game a double cold deck so that Robert Shaw thinks he's going to win with four nines. He actually loses all his money when Paul Newman famously says, four jacks, you owe me 15 grand, pal.
And a great film. You spoke with us actually last year on this program about President Barack Obama and his love of poker. And he's just sort of the latest in a long line of commanders in chief who've been drawn to the game.
President Obama falls very clearly into there's a number of stripes of presidential poker players. Most of them are like Obama, FDR, Truman, Teddy Roosevelt. They played as a way to relax with their cronies, to widen their political circle. The two players who were the most effective high-stakes players in their lifetimes were Eisenhower and Nixon. Eisenhower successfully courts Mamie Dowd, a wealthy Denver socialite, with poker winnings. Nixon wins $8,000 in the mid-40s, enough to finance his first successful congressional campaign.
Now, you actually teach a class on poker, on its history and strategy at the School of the Art.
And the literature as well.
And literature at the School of the Art Institute of Chicago. And you point out that poker strategy is now widely taught at business schools?
David Sklansky, one of the premier philosophers and primer writers, his books are assigned to traders at Susquehanna Partners and a number of other financial services industries. Poker logic is about leveraging uncertainty and managing risk as effectively as possible, using psychology, logic, and mathematics in order to make effective bets about what's going to happen either at the table or in the marketplace.
You conclude in your book that poker has actually made this country a stronger one, not a more sinful one. What do you think the Puritans would have made of that?
The Puritan instinct is alive today. And it tends to not appreciate poker skill, winning money by cunning and aggression. However, what's made America great is the combination of Puritan work ethic and the entrepreneurial cowboy's desire to get rich quick by taking big risks. It's the combination of those two things. As parents' genes combine in their children, that has made America what it is today.
James McManus is the author of Cowboys Full, The Story of Poker. He joined us from KUOW in Seattle. James McManus, thanks so much.
My pleasure, Guy.
By the way, you made it to the final table at the World Series of Poker back in 2000. What do you think of this Darvin Moon fellow? Do you think he has a shot?
Well, if I proved anything in 2000, it's that if you play reasonably well and get very lucky, nobody wins a poker tournament without playing very, very well and getting extremely lucky. And Darvin Moon, he would be the person that I would bet on. And I wish Darvin luck.
Thank you. I'm going to need all the luck I can get.
That is Darvin Moon, and he's about as far as you can get from poker royalty.